A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
This episode is sponsored by Try Vegan, a vegan meal home delivery service that is nutritious and delicious and makes your life easier. Based out of New Jersey, they deliver throughout the Northeast. Check out more details on their website, tryveganmealprep.com. And you can get 25% off your first order with the promo code LITYOGA. So go vegan. Good movement, and welcome to Redefining Yoga, a Lit Yoga podcast, which is designed to investigate all aspects of the modern evolution of yoga from my background as a physical therapist and lover of movement. My mission is to help everyone find freedom through safer and smarter movement patterns, so together we can be uplifted, benefiting all beings. Today is Monday Motivation, and the motivation today is how to be a better partner. I'm lucky enough to have an amazing partner who is with me today. And I ask people on Instagram to ask us questions. So I have some of those, and then I probably have some of my own. But first of all, welcome Mark Hyman, hubby extraordinaire.
Thank you, honey.
So being a better partner, we've been married 19 and a half years, 22 years together. So the first question I'm going to ask you are from what people ask us. People did say nothing to ask, but you two are the cutest. A lot of people wrote that. But one question was from Franny Rosen. Seems you do a lot, talking about you, a lot in your relationship and support Laura's endeavors. Do you ever harbor resentment?
Well, thank you, Franny, for that question. Not resentment of what she does. Sometimes I'm not, my little pet peeve, which she knows, is what the social media aspect of what is entailed in her job. So I guess if there's resentment, it's just about the amount of time it takes. I'm not big into social media. So not really. I think what you're asking more is like, do I resent maybe how great she is and what she's doing and where she has gone? And I just have nothing but pride for that. So it's really some of the things that are some of the side pieces to that that are required in order for her to continue to thrive that are not my favorite parts, but no, not resentment per se. No.
But you're getting a little bit better about the social media stuff. And it's not always social media.
I think I'm just being more quiet about it.
Yeah. Well, I also, I don't really spend as much time on social media. I spend time on technology because I email people, I make comments on Lit Daily, I have meetings. I'm really on, and this is, maybe you can tell a little behind the scenes because, you know, what people see is a very happy job and I love it, but I don't think people actually realize the amount of work it takes to work for yourself and to have a product and bring it to fruition. Do you want to talk a little bit about how it's changed from when I had the studio originally to where I am now?
Yeah, and that's true. I always just associate being on the phone with social media. So I think it's how much time you spend on the phone and you, because you do a lot of your work on the phone more than on the computer. So I just associate it with that. But yeah, so it's not necessarily social media. But so can you give me that again? So what was the question?
Maybe you can tell people. Tell people how hard I work. No.
it's constant. So, and I guess that's, resentment is such a strong word. But so that would be the other pieces. It's all the time. It's a nonstop job that Laura's like from the time she wakes up. And so it leads to some unhealthy habits of in that you're up, you're on the phone, but it's doing work. You're just you are passionate about it. So it's something that doesn't bother you to do, but it's also not the healthiest to do, to wake up and be on your phone and looking at your work, and then you don't have good boundaries for shutting that off, right? And so that's something I think that's a work in progress. So it looks like people see how great and how balanced you are. And, you know, we all have balance things that we need to work on. I think that's for you, is you work so much, whether it's having meetings, leading your teacher trainings, your classes, your local classes, your and keeping your following. And then the business end, you are involved in everything and you have a great team, but you are constantly involved. So it's really amazing. And that's probably why the resentment is not on how much, because I see how much you do. It's what it, some of the...
Well, it can bleed into...
It can bleed into our life.
Right, because for anybody who works for themselves, and especially now that we have this 24/7 technology available, and it is, and if you love what you do, so I love what I do, so I never feel like I need to leave it or escape it. But Mark is a great partner because he reminds me, even if I love it, I still have to pay attention to the other aspects of our lives.
Just to set boundaries, which are really hard in today's culture to do when you have stuff that's always, there's always going to be stuff to do. So my constant, and it's not putting it down, but I just, my constant motto is, it's just yoga. Meaning like, but I could say that same thing with mine. It's just tutoring. It's just anything. It's like, it can't be the whole of your life, even though it's a passionate part of your life. And I think that's a healthy way to look at anything we do. It's one aspect of your life. And I think we all have a tendency at times to let it dominate. And then that's sort of, we just need to find that balance. So that's just a common balancing thing. So,
yes. And I'll add here, in terms of being a really amazing partner, not only does he support me in all the ways, like literally has never said no. When I say, hey, what do you think? Should I open another studio? Should I take this retreat? Should I do this teacher training? He's always yes, yes. And he's helping so much behind the scenes, not necessarily in the yoga part, but in making the rest of our life smooth. He's super involved with our children, with our household. I could not do the things I do if I didn't have that. I just am so grateful for that. So, but also being a good partner in letting me know, hey, you need to step up in this way for our family or for me. So it's wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're such, Mark is the better communicator of the two of us. As much as I talk to people and I do communicate well, I'm really in touch with my feelings, but Mark has a different like level of being in touch with his feelings. And can you speak a little bit about like
Hold on a second, I'm about to cry. No, I don't know that I'm a better communicator. I think I'm more aware when we need to communicate. Mm. I think you're a great communicator. I think I'm the one more like, hey, we need to talk this through. So I think I'm more the igniter of that part of it, that we need to, you know, we can't let, this is just not going to take care of itself. We need, let's talk it, let's work it out. Let's talk things through.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
you wanted to ask me something. So what was it?
Well, I don't know what that is, but on that vein, I want to talk about AB Vane asks, what is your favorite thing to do with Laura?
Well, I
keep
guess
it I'm a G-rated.
I love going on, well, walks. I mean, I think I'm often the one like I'll wait on, because I tend to do my workouts early in the morning so that by the afternoon, I could go on a run with Orlando, but I love just going on a walk for the, so the two of us go on a walk. For one, for me, that's my, I know that if I could get Laura on a walk that she usually can't be doing work. So I get, you know, it's a little, my selfish way of like, it's just our time with the two of us in Orlando just to, you know, just talk through whatever's going on and being out in nature, because I guess that leads to the or bigger, what I enjoy most is when we go on our hiking trips. And this is just a small little sliver of that, of being able to do that, to have a little piece of that on a day-to-day basis, because I really think that there's no need to, we all think about like, oh, planning long vacations, and we don't, no one really has time to be on constant vacation and if you were on constant vacation, it wouldn't be a vacation. It wouldn't be the joyous experience it is. So, but there's nothing against having a 1 hour vacation on a day or every couple of days where you can have a little bit of that experience. And I think if you could set aside that time and some kind of regularity on what you do sort of to find your happy place that I think we all deserve it. So that's how I feel like I want to do so we could treat ourselves to that. Yeah.
Yes. I enjoy our time together that way as well.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. And that was one of the 50 things I love about you is that
that's
you
right.
invite me on daily walks. And I think that's for everybody who's has a partner, whether you're married or not. It could also be like a roommate or a really good friend. It's just reach out regularly and ask for that time. Because sometimes when people don't ask for it, that's where the buildup of resentment comes. And I think that's where you, a lot of reasons you don't have resentment is you really ask for what you need. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily do that, males and females. And then they just harbor that resentment. It's like, you kind of have to ask for what you want. And I think
You also taught me, I mean, you always have told me that, like, don't assume I know what you're feeling. This is from years. So, Jillian, I might have already had that to some extent, but I think if you want something or if you need something, you have to be vocal. And so the things that, and sometimes it takes multiple times because other people have their patterns and stuff. And so to work as a team, sometimes you have to make it really clear, like, this is what I need, this is what I want. And, you know, if what you want is more time or more energy from somebody, that's the person at worst can be like, I don't have that right now. But regardless, everyone loves feeling like they're wanted and needed. So nothing bad can really come of that.
Right. And I personally find it super sexy. Yeah. That you ask for that, you know, so like, I want to be with you. And I think that's so gratifying, you know, whether you're married or not, you just don't play games, like just ask for what you want. So Kaylin Flows ask, what does Mark do? I think people see you
He seems to have a lot of time.
But we, you know, what does Mark do? I've always been curious, is he a PT too? No.
Okay, so just a little backdrop. So I was a professional actor, mainly Shakespearean actor, for years and early in our relationship. And on the side, I was tutoring for a great company, Advantage Testing. It was based in New York. That's where it started. And that was when I was in grad school for theater. And I would be going off and actually write the day we met, I think I got a job that was going to take, I was going to be gone
our
for about 8 months.
Our first date, the day after our first date,
I booked the lead in a show at Indiana Rep in Indianapolis.
And you were going to be gone 6 weeks later. So we had our first date and it was like 6 weeks. It was probably some kind of early dating show.
And then as soon as that was over, I was going to be home for a day. And then I was going to be out in LA for pilot season. Mm-hmm. Because my agency opened up a West Coast office. And so I was going to be there. So we literally had 6 weeks and then I was going to be gone for...
It was about six months we were together before we went on our bike trip, about or 7 months. And of that,
like five and a half,
majority of it, you were gone.
Yeah. So I was that, and that's another story about all of that. But then as our relationship developed and then we got married and we're going to have kids, my desire to be a father and a husband outweighed my desire to act, as far as like, I didn't want to be an absent father. I have too many friends who were in the industry and it's not absent, but I couldn't imagine being away for 2 to 3 months at a time, which I'd have to be as an actor. So I just shifted gears and the tutoring picked up
on the side.
Basically, it was a great job. And it was a great company. And so I was tutoring when I would be in New York and when I wasn't working. And when I was, I could pass my students off to other great tutors in the company. And then once we were getting married and going to have kids, I think I did one more show. It was down at the Caldwell Theater in Florida. And then that might have been the last one I had done. Then I sort of was slowly shifting and the tutoring became a more significant part of my role because then I could be working from home and I had flexibility for a schedule. So anyway, I have a tutoring. I moved and I opened the Princeton branch of Advantage Testing, where I focus, I tutor students for high school, for college, grad school, mostly standardized testing, working with students with learning differences and without learning differences. And that's sort of been my passion for the last, or one of my passions for the last 20 or so years. Yeah. As far as that, that's where the financial part of what I, of what I'd call my job is. I have other, I think a lot of some other things I do. So
yes, he's like, he's a true Renaissance man, but the job is an incredible job because it does have a lot of freedom in it. And it has been a real balance for my job. And when early on, when we had young children, I would still be teaching yoga. I would do that in the morning and you would tutor in the afternoon and evening. And we would be able to be with the children at different times. And then we'd have some time for ourselves. So it worked out really well. It's been lovely and you're so good at it.
Yeah. And I've been able to be with the same company and job for over 25 years. And it's allowed us to, you know, have stability and allowed you sort of to grow your, as you were growing your business, we had the stability of mine. If I think if I had stayed, and I still keep all my union affiliations because I would like to go, and I still love the theater and Shakespeare, and I've done some directing and want to go back and do more of that. So I keep that up. But for the time, it gave us some stability and flexibility. So we weren't struggling as far as financially as we were making decisions with what you were doing career-wise.
And I think this can kind of bleed into the next question, which is, first, you're obviously very artistic. And I think when you left the acting world, for at least temporarily for this last 20 years or something, you have needed to have an outlet for your creativity. And I think a lot of people can relate to this. If you are an artist, you need to always be doing something creatively. So you built me a yurt. You built other things as well. But there were a lot of questions about the yurt.
Which we are. This is the inaugural yurt podcast.
Because
we moved from, we regained our little sauna that we have and where the podcasts were. And now this first one, we're able to be, have a little bit more space. And
I literally got 10 questions about the yurt. So most people were asking, like, how did you learn how to do that? You know, how did you learn how to build a yurt?
Yeah. So, well, you just sort of do it. I never learned to do it. And we used...
Wait, let me interrupt for a second. Mark can do anything. And I'm not kidding. He's so... Like, if the kids need something hemmed or sewed or made, they don't come to me. I don't know. He knows how to do it by hand with the sewing machine. He made the kids like toys when they were little. He is very creative. He can fix anything. I think that's... You're such a genius in so many ways. And... You know, sometimes we talk about like street smarts versus book smarts, and you have both, which is like an embarrassment of riches. But anyway, go
but
back
that also
to,
came, I mean, I do give my mom a lot of credit for that. I grew up and I was, you know, you do your own thing. I learned to sew. Of course, shout out to whoever, my home ec teacher in high school learned to do that. But I did that at home. So yeah, I did. I just hemmed Jonah's pants the other night. Yeah. But oh, so we there's a company that we used for our yurt, Freedom Yurt. I think it's called Freedom Yurt.
Yes. Yeah, so some people did ask, did he build it by hand? He did not build it by hand. It came pre-made, but it came in boxes. Like he did build it because
thousands of pounds of we had on pallets that came from Nebraska. I think we get, if anyone's interested, I think we could do something. I think that I probably have some code so that you could get a discount or we get a discount or something. So if you're interested, you know, get in touch with Laura. I must have a code somewhere. But anyway, it came in, you picked the size and it came in. We wanted like wood walls insulated so it was more sturdy. So the panels, everything was there. And then I sort of, this was more putting it together, all the parts, which took quite a while and leveling the ground and doing everything. I pretty much did everything except the electrical. And then we had someone install the flooring just because the 16-sided shape is hard to install. But then, you know, building the sound panels and sewing that and putting up the lighting and, you know, making it what it is. So that's what I enjoyed
doing. Yeah, it was about, a month-long process?
Yeah, probably. The planning of it. And there's probably still some tweaks here and there. But yeah, so... Oh, okay. Yeah. So it was...
Yeah, so just so you know, it's a, 22 by 22? or like
well, it's not 22,
it's,
but
it's 22. I always say
yeah,
that.
It's a 22, about 22, 22 and a half foot diameter, 16 sided.
So it's really nice, big space.
Four windows. Mm-hmm.
He built sound panels by hand because of the height of the ceilings. When we're recording, we don't want any reverb. So that really takes care of that along with the sound blankets and stuff. But he made it a full on professional production studio. And I'm just super grateful.
And that was also the idea of trying to reclaim, reuse. So I took the wood the pallets that were where everything came on, and I made the frames for the sound panels. And then I used the extra insulation because I insulated the floor so it would be a four season yurt. And I used, there was some extra insulation. So I just used the extra insulation and I put that in the frame of the panels. And then I covered it in burlap so it would look, so it would sort of fade into the ceiling a bit.
So yeah. He's amazing. This was a wonderful gift. It was part of my birthday present, but he would have done it anyway.
Yeah. So yeah, I enjoyed doing it because again, it's if you're creative, like that doesn't go away. I just have to find whether it's editing like DVDs of the kids and doing videos and of growing up or music, playing instruments and stuff. It just goes somewhere else, and which is fine for me to not have the stress of needing to act to put food on the table and let it just be, use my creativity just purely for the joy of it. It's almost purer that way, I think. And so it's just finding the ways and the time to be able to do that.
He could also be an architect. But creativity, he's both mathematical.
He could also be an architect because that creativity, he's both mathematical and creative. So I contributed minimally. We built our existing house, which is 11 years old. It's eco-friendly. It was really, 11 years ago doesn't seem that long ago, but it was pretty novel to build an eco-friendly, sustainable home. So we built that. He was heavily involved in every aspect of that. We had to go to places that were not nearby to find all the materials we were looking for.
Gave
he really
green
wanted
tours
to use it as a
school groups
as a
stuff,
model,
right?
and for years you gave eco
gave
tours. Yeah,
school groups.
Right. And so I'll have you speak about our house for a moment. But he's also been involved in building two studios for me. All that was involved in that, you know. Of course, we did hire out for things that you needed code for, but he could pretty much do everything else. He built the yurt, and then we're building, his family has a home in the Berkshires, and we just totally redid it. And he did all of that again. So he's constantly applying his creativity and his organization skills and his leadership and everything to that. Mm-hmm. Can you just talk briefly about what our eco, because we've gotten questions about our eco home. What are kind of the big bullet points that we have in our eco-friendly home?
Okay, so all the wood is FSC certified. It's passive solar, so it's facing in a direction where you could minimize the amount of lights and electricity that you need, because we're taking advantage of the sun for light and heat and how that's... So it's not really... Most homes are built to be perpendicular or parallel to the street, and so which isn't necessarily facing where the sun is, where you're going to optimize for that. So we have geothermal pumps for electricity. It's finding be as locally sourced as possible. So there's lots, it's not black and white. So it's making decisions on every little choice that you have about where are windows coming from? Are we going to, you know, is it better to have something that's that we don't need as much fossil fuel to get to transport them? So I know that was what we used for our windows at the time.
We have solar panels. Yes, we
solar
have
panels for
the wood-burning stove that in the winter we use mm-hmm. a lot as a great heat source. Reclaimed barnwood floors. All of our counter surfaces are some kind of eco material.
And they're different ones so that I could show different ways, the different products. So as people come in, we also used a decent amount of fly ash because Portland cement is one of the biggest contributors for greenhouse gases. So you could add fly ash into the content up to a certain amount, depending on where it is in the home, if it's in the floor and walls, because obviously you don't want that coming into the house, but there are certain places where it stays inert, and you're getting that out of the atmosphere. And then even in the stucco that we used for the walls and the paint that was at the time, no VOC, like all the companies didn't have it. We had to get a special, what's called Mythic Paint, was one of the companies that was doing no VOC. And now you could really get zero VOC paint. So
what a difference. You can, when you walk into a room,
yeah,
that
VOC
has,
is volatile organic compounds, and that's
it sort smells of,
you could what you,
like
smell,
you smell
what
it.
Like new paint and those fumes that come off for years. So it's just health.
Mm-hmm.
And looking for the health of the home and for the people in it. Yeah.
And the planet.
And the planet.
So moving on to Becerra D asks, what is your practice routine and do you both work out together?
Definitely.
We walk together.
We walk together, yeah. But she's sound asleep during my practice routine. So basically I am up sometime between 4 and 5:30 in the morning.
Naturally.
Yeah. I haven't had an alarm in years. So my routine is I get up at between 4 and 5:30. I'll usually read in bed for a little bit on my Kindle so I don't wake up Laura. Then I have a meditation, 20 minutes of meditating. And we have like Laura's walk-in closet. It's like, every place is dark right now, but that keeps Mo. Mo doesn't disturb me. Mo, our cat, doesn't disturb me. So I shut the sliding door and then do 20 minutes of that. Then I go down and do my Peloton for about a half hour. So if any of you are Peloton users, I am vegan daddy. And I work out typically sometime between 5 and 6:30. I'll do a 20 to 30 minute class.
And let me just brag about him for a minute. Okay. He just turned 50, but even when he was in the upper 40s, he is like in the top 1%. And these are like 3,000 riders. He's crazy, 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 crazy talented.
I just like to push myself. So,
I know, but still.
Yeah.
I
go with the hashtag lit. Is it lit yoga? So
look for that if you're a Peloton
lit yoga
person.
Or add the hashtag lit yoga. Friend me for vegan daddy. But I'm on East Coast time, usually between 5 and 6:30, sometime in that. I'll go on for a half hour. And then that's usually about 5 days a week. And then I have my weight workout. We have a weight room down in the basement. So I do that. And then I'll sometimes also run. On the weekends, I tend to run when I'm not doing my Peloton. Or Wednesdays or weekends are often run days. And then we do our walks in the afternoon. But that's all. So I like to get all that done before, when it's quiet, because my brain is also quiet. I'm not thinking of all the other stuff I need to do. If I can work out later in the afternoon, I'm too antsy about all the other stuff that has to go on. So I do that. And then it's nice because then I could do that. I come up, I make coffee for Laura, and then I can wake her up and I'm all done.
Art Soul Movement asks, tips on how to get hubby to make me coffee every morning. Maybe you can talk about that for a second since you just mentioned that. It benefits everybody.
yeah. Well, I think it just started on our trip and I like it. I mean,
we went on a bike trip very early on in our
Right after. Yeah, right after I came back from California, shortly after we biked across the country. And it was very clear that I am a morning person and Laura isn't as much of a morning person.
No.
So anything that if I had coffee in the morning, I have been jittery because
I
have that energy.
He wakes up literally, and there's some few beautiful people like him, but I don't know that many, just jump out of bed, doesn't need coffee, doesn't need an alarm, just pops out of bed. And I am not like that. I am a slow riser. Everybody thinks I have a lot of energy. Once I get going, I'm good. But I am slow in the morning and we just figure it out. And this is part of being a good partner is he didn't try and change me. He asked me one question on the bike trip. I think I gave him it could have been our breakup because we were just again freshly together. And he said, do you think it's a problem you need coffee every morning? And I just looked at him and I said, it would be a problem if I didn't have it.
Yeah.
And you know, that instead of like berating me or anything, he just said, okay, well, I'm up earlier than you, so I'll make it and bring it to you.
Well, and back
that's
then,
how
it
started.
You know, I had to make the fire and do it in a campground.
Yeah. So this is
not
our bike
so
trip.
Easy.
Yeah.
But right. I also, early on in my career, I made the decision not to drink coffee, mainly because a lot of actors, we need it. We work weird hours as actors. I'm, you know, going on for my job at 8 p.m. at night. And I just didn't want to be dependent on something to affect my energy level. I wanted to find other ways. So, because I didn't want, well, what if I couldn't have it at some point? So anyway, I purposely, now I occasionally will have it midday if I need, if I'm about to start.
Because you get up so
tutoring.
Early. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm up. So by 2 in the afternoon, I sometimes hit a low, and that's sometimes when I'm going to be going into the hard part of my tutoring day. So, but yeah, so you right. know, I, so it's you, we so you, give we yeah. give it's a give and take. That feels to me an easy way. It's, you know, it's a way. I think it's a non-verbal way to say I love you in the morning, and nothing wrong with using the words, but it's just a way. I tend to like to show my love through action, and that's one action I can take every morning to do that. Mm-hmm. And I know it. It's meaningful. So
it's a beautiful way to greet the day. He brings me coffee, tells me he loves me. I say thank you. And then he leaves me to drink the coffee. And so I can kind of wake
up back
slowly.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, this is again, being part of a good partnership is giving allowance to your partner to be who they are and not trying to change them. You know, that never really works, whether it's a habit like drinking coffee or
trying to change someone doesn't work.
Yeah, it doesn't work. So it's like he's recognizing my needs and meeting them, and I'm recognizing his and hopefully meeting them. And another part of that, getting back to your routine, your workout routine, this person asked how to convince your partner to do a daily workout. And I think, you know, one is that you're going to be better for each other, and you're taking care of yourself. But you're also, by taking care of yourself, you're probably a better person. That's always what I say, is like, if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to come to a partnership your best. Is that what you would say?
Yeah, I guess I don't think you can convince. I don't think you can convince someone else. I think that's sort of, you can convince through example. I mean, part of the way Laura might convince me, although I typically want to be in good shape anyway, but I also want to be, you know, if you're with your partner and you're wanting to be have a long term and see a life together, if your partner's in great shape and, you know, I don't want to be sort of slugging along and not be able to do the things with Laura, because a lot of things we like to do are physical. But I also, like, I've hurt my, I'm a lot tighter. Obviously, I'm a lot tighter than Laura. And, you know, we just had brother-in-law John came and was sort of working on me a little bit because my shoulders, I have an impingement. And I basically just said, you know, my number one goal is really just to be flexible to the point where I can have many years of being able to continue to do the things that we love together. So, you know, that's where all the stretching and things that I need to sort of add more of is more just thinking about our future together, but it's not coming. It's got to come. I just feel that action speaks louder than words. So if you want your partner to be exercising and doing that for his or her health, just showing that and sometimes doing things together. Cause yeah. I think
and it could be like going for a walk. I think sometimes you have to meet people where they are. And if they're not like really into working out, quote unquote, make it more about that it's an experience, like walking in the woods or hiking, where it's not necessarily going to be exhausting, but you're still
romantic
moving.
And yeah, it's a shared. So if it's someone who doesn't want to do that, then it's really, the working out is really just more about longevity and staying healthy for your lives.
Right. So you have a good quality of life together. Yeah. You're not going to get old and crotchety. So Stamoda Movement asks, one thing about your guy that has influenced you and made you a better person and vice versa.
I want to hear this.
Okay. Well, so I'll go and then you go. It's hard to say one thing. There's so many things. He is generous beyond anyone I know. Generous with his time, generous with his energy, generous with his love. He is generous. And that generosity is such a gift. And it's made me a better person because I've been the recipient of it. And it's also made me become more generous with my time and energy. I really believe he's shown that you can't overwhelm anybody with your love. It's just, there's just infinite amount to give and to receive. And Mark has never... He's never been stingy with any of that. And I'm not saying other partners do, but it's like he holds the bar so high for that. It's what else has he taught me? Well, he's taught me about loyalty and priorities for sure, because I came from a wonderful family. I had, there were priorities there, but he has a next level in terms of family, putting family first. And that's just, I think that a lot of people talk that, a lot of males talk it, but don't necessarily follow up and actually live it. And he does. So that's one of many things, but his absolute zest for life and love and willingness to be all in and showing it and each and every day is just so admirable. And I'm just so lucky to have it.
Thank you, hon. I really don't have anything. No. Okay. So what is something?
You're pretty perfect.
No.
One thing about me that has influenced you to make you a better person.
I'm definitely feel like I've grown a lot. And I mean, your compassion. Well, the most obvious thing is I didn't even know what a vegetarian was before we started dating. I didn't know anything about that world. So that sort of opened up a lot as far as compassion and that journey of being just reflective about those, our place in the world and how we relate to other beings and the environment. I mean, this journey that we've been on, I don't think, and then I went to the Institute for Humane Education did a grad program, but that all came, and our involvement with Farm Sanctuary, none of that would have happened without your sort of opening the door of my brain to that idea. And also learning to do it in, I think I've learned a number of people you've influenced just in your actions without actually badgering people to
preaching. Make
change, preaching, badgering, whatever, that just in being, how powerful that is. And I think I was one of the early people that you influenced, because even though we became vegan together, just the vegetarianism, and I definitely took that on my own. And I think you gave me space when we went on our bike trip. I just said, I didn't want to eat. I want to respect your choices, since we were going to be together for 3 months or so, 24 hours a day. And I was going to try and the way you did, but you made that easy for me because I didn't feel less than because I hadn't been that way. And I think you just naturally are that way with people. And so that's probably the biggest, that compassion and passion that you have for the things that you believe in. So yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I think, we could have a whole probably, I don't know, 4-part series on being vegan and being a couple. But I will say that, that also makes it easy as a partnership, that whatever we believe in, we really subscribe to. And there isn't anything we really do that we have different views on in those kind of moral, foundations. And it doesn't mean that you can't be vegan and your partner not be vegan, that there are plenty of people that, that have that, but it does make it so much easier that we just have that baseline of respect and we have different religious faiths that we grew up in. Mark grew up Jewish. I grew up Christian. We celebrate both. We make space in our kind of practices and traditions for both without, that was seemingly going to be an issue based on what people had told us, but it's never been an issue. It's just because we just honor our roots and honor where we are now, that we're making kind of, it's critical thinking, just making room and space and compassion for it all.
Yeah. I think that if you have the same, or if you find someone, if you're not with someone now and you find someone, or if you are with someone, just checking to make sure you have similar, Laura's a lot more extroverted than I am. And that's fine. Those kind of differences, and it's a pretty profound difference that we have in our comfort around like big groups and stuff. But we do have you find some things that you both enjoy together and you have the same ethics and values. And that can lead to make different decisions. But if you have similar values and are both open to communicating, and then probably the one of the biggest triggers for most couples that we sort of, that your values of what you believe in, but also your values of what you think, where you should put your money. I think that's one of the biggest triggers for people.
Financial is one of the top three stresses for couples.
So I think we have that. We both we put our money into experiences over material items, and we have the same values on what we think is important and causes that really are passionate about. And yet we have different things that we might be, I think it's also important. We have different hobbies that really electrify our energies. So, yeah.
Oh, this has been a wonderful conversation with you. We should do this more often.
Definitely. It's been 2 years, right? Another
one about grief. When we talked about experience with losing David and mine with my dad.
Yes.
Check that out. I wish that we'll hopefully in the show notes be able to put what episode that was, because I really learned how to grieve well. I think that is a term, grieving well, because of you. And
I'd lost my brother, for those who hadn't known. My brother died when I was 16. So I've sort of that's definitely guided probably who I am. That's, since then. So,
yes. Yeah. Well, I love you.
I love you too.
And for everybody out there, the first thing I would say is, because I'm sure I have a lot of women, and maybe you can say it for the men, but women really, really, whether it's a female partner or a male partner, hold the bar high, don't accept little things that you like down the road could be really become very acidic to the relationship. And I think that's one thing that I knew early on, that Mark had the qualities that I wanted in someone. He had the integrity. He put me first, or at least, up there and acted on that. And I don't think that's too much to ask of someone. And I think you have to really hold the bar high to have a good partner and to be a good partner. And having a good partner will inevitably make you a better partner. I think that goes without saying. If you don't have a great partner, you're probably either going to overcompensate and be resentful, or you're going to not be a good partner in return, or as best as you could be. And there are going to be ups and downs, and that's just natural with anyone that you love and you live with. But you want that super solid foundation of a good partnership.
And it comes from communication. So
yes,
I'll say that to the guys too. We sometimes can't be, are not known as being as open with their communication, but that really
vulnerable. Men are not necessarily taught that. And that's too bad, because
it makes all the difference.
It's a beautiful quality. Yes. So communicate, ask for what you want, hold the bar high, and love big. Don't hold back. Don't play games. Just be all in.
Get lit.
Okay. Love you, sweetheart. And love to all of you. As always, I'm pulling for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.